We're back! Sorry, we weren't here last week, dear listener. The thing was, we designed, well, Michael designed a beautiful card with a gorgeous poppy head on it. And it said, I'm sorry we're not here this week because we are just putting the catalogue together. And he went to put it up on iTunes and blurp, it wouldn't go. So you had no message, you didn't know where we were. But did you miss us? Yes, you did. I had lots of tweets and lots of emails. Sorry, we weren't there Monday morning. You know, we're always here Monday morning. That's the way it is. Anyway, welcome to the Wiggly Podcast. Farmville, but free. Cutting edge, Rach. I'm joined today on the sofa by my dear friend and colleague, Ms. Rachel Jones.
Good morning, everyone.
There's only one Rach.
Yes, that's true.
Now, Rach, on this week's show, we're going to go and listen to you in the Gambia talking about bees and traffic lights.
Yep, this will be a really interesting one to listen to because the traffic lights were literally people at the traffic lights selling their produce, and it was fantastic. And the next one will be about the bees and how they're working them in the Gambia.
So could we use this traffic light sales technique in Britain to sell farm produce?
It would be a really good idea, but I don't think the highways authorities would allow it quite for health and safety reasons.
You're fiddling with your watch.
Oh, sorry. Yes, they wouldn't allow it for health and safety reasons because it was literally on the traffic lights that you pulled up and collected your produce.
What happens if the traffic light goes to green and I'm just negotiating over a pound of bananas?
Oh, well, you could pull up on the side.
Oh, okay.
You just pulled up on the side and got out and got your produce and way to go again.
Okay, well, let's go there first because later in the show we've got Monty. And you'll find interspersed in today's show tips on blackthorn. And there's some corkers. Did you know that they can be used for record players?
No, I didn't know that. But what I do know about them is my horse got one stuck in her leg and it caused an enormous swelling.
Really?
Yes.
Are they poisonous? They are poisonous, aren't they?
Yeah, they're terrible things. And they have to be got out. Then she had to be bandaged up for a little while and it all went back down again. But the leg never seemed to be quite right again.
What's the horse's name?
Hollyberry.
Hollyberry. Well, get well, Hollyberry. And on that note, get well, Alison. Alison's been proper poorly with a bad back.
She has indeed. Poor Alison. But she's going to be back in next Tuesday, so good all out.
Woo-woo! Here we go.
Okay, well, we've moved from the ladies and their garden up to the traffic light area. I'm joined by Baba Kafal from the Gig Farm, which is Goodies Gambia office, where they've got an office not far from here, where the produce is taken to. And then from there, you bring it to the... No, sometimes the people from the traffic light area go collect it from you, and sometimes you deliver it here, don't you? So basically, we've got a long line of stalls with the most beautiful produce on it. Lovely, clean produce. It looks absolutely lovely. But you're going to tell us a little bit about how you look after these stands.
Okay, thank you very much. I am Babu Karfal, Sales and Marketing Officer for Gambia's Good. Currently, we are in the traffic light, as you say earlier. These are people that we normally do business with every day in and out. Anytime that we have fresh harvest from our farms or order from other areas, we just control them and they will come and see what they can buy and sell instantly and get their money back. We always help them in the, you know, give them some after-sale customer service skills, you know, free of charge from Gambia's Goods. And also we try to make sure that we have nice rapport with them in terms of vegetable selling skills and all the things. This end, it is opposite the highway, one of the busiest highway in the Gambia, where many people pass after work and when they're going to work.
How many stands would you say is up here? How many stands have you got?
It could be up to 15, I can say, approximately around 15. And all of these stands do come to Gambia's Goods to buy their vegetables and fruits. And after they will resell to their various customers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they normally help us a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. So they are customers that we don't want to play with.
No.
They are one of our excellent customers. They always come and buy from us. And we also want to make sure that we give them the best service that we can. Sometimes when they come and buy, it's difficult to let them hire taxis.
Yes.
You know, we never let them do that. Or to carry them in their heads. We also make sure that like it is delivered to them as we're doing to other hotels when they order. We have delivery vans with us, so they will always come and deliver whatever they order and whatever they buy from us in daily basis.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for that. So it's coming up to their busy time now as people are starting to go home from work. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully they're going to sell lots of produce.
Sure, I think so. Like these are some of the times that they normally get busy. If we wait around 5 or a little bit after 5, then many people will be passing by and then they will come and be shopping for their supper or dinner or whatever they can call it, or maybe breakfast.
Great. Yeah. That's really great. Well, the buzz is... there is quite a buzz here of people, so it's really nice. Thank you for that, and end of this part of the podcast.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Anyway, Rach, we were putting this new catalogue to bed, and I think it's the best ever.
Every catalogue, Hev says, it's the best ever. And this one probably is the best ever.
We've had a new designer, haven't we, Michael?
Yeah.
We've had a new designer for this catalogue, and without being in any way disrespectful to Michael, it's the best! Look at him! Devastated at Webley. I'm sure he had tons of input, but I just love it, because I love the little bits at the bottom, I love the layout, and I love all the different fonts. Obviously, Michael's not that keen.
No. But Mary did it.
Yes.
The other half. So, good old Mary. Way.
Anyway, what are your favourite bits? Because it's gone to bed. I went to bed after it went to bed, and it's now at the printers at this very moment, going round on a massive web offset press, which you and I have seen.
Yes.
Which is like a roll of loo paper times, I'm not very good at ratios,
a thousand trillion. Yes.
So it's about a metre wide roll of loo paper. But it's not loo paper, it's paper. And it's whizzing round at a million miles an hour. Yeah. Out of the other end comes a fully printed catalogue in big sheets, which they then chop up. It was good, wasn't it?
It was amazing. Absolutely seeing it was amazing. And, you know, it really was worth going to see.
Yeah.
But, I mean, many people will associate it with seeing, like, the newspapers that you see on the big presses and things. And it's very similar to that.
Yeah. So after your months of toiling, thinking about the products, designing the catalogue, writing the catalogue, enjoying preparing the catalogue, it goes to this place, and in about 7 hours, 100,000...
your month's worth of work, at least the month's work,
comes
is done.
Yeah, and I've told them, as usual, we may be wiggly wigglers, a bit wormy and a bit earthy, but we expect the print quality of Vogue. And they've got that clearly in their minds.
Absolutely.
Anyway, what's your favourite, Rach?
Well, in new catalogues, I always like to look for the new products. And in this catalogue, we've got quite a few new products.
We've got loads of new products.
And in the gift section, gift sets, we've got one of a great indulgence, which is the chocolate hamper.
Ooh, delicious.
Delicious. And inside it, it's not quite what you expect, but there is some lovely chocolate shampoo, chocolate conditioner, chocolate shower gel / bath foam.
Yeah, and it's faith in nature, so it's pretty green. It's got good eco credentials.
Yeah, and while you lie in the bath, indulging yourself in these beautiful products, there's chocolate to be eaten.
How many bars, Rach?
4 bars.
Yes!
4 bars to go
at. Other people would have just had one, but we know that it takes a while to use up the chocolate bath foam, so you need chocolate every time that you go to the bath.
Yes.
I can vouch for the chocolate bath foam. Yeah. It is wonderful.
Yeah, and I can vouch for the divine milk chocolate that you're going to get too.
Of course.
Yeah. Michael, while this was over with you being photographed, how many bars did you send back to go back into stock?
Sam said, no need to send any back.
Did she? I hope she's took it off the stock count.
And I do too. And my favourites are the chilli kits, which have already started to sell in our shop at Ross Labels. They're going like hot chilies.
They're going really well. In fact, I've been ordering more of those, ready for the rush on them as well.
Brilliant. I like the mushroom logs because we've got all these different logs now, which are medicinal, but we mustn't say medicinal, of course. We must say edible, but they make you very well. But my utter favourite product is the edible hedge.
Yeah, this time of year.
I wish I'd planted an edible hedge where the wiggly hedge is, but I'm not going to worry because I'm going to plant an edible hedge down the other side of the garden.
Oh, great. Yeah. So you'll be able to go for it down there. So Edible Hedge will start, the season on that will start now before long, won't it? Now in November.
Oh, yes, of course. Operations manager. Yes, so worried that you'll buy it, dear listener, sad that you don't get it in time. You can buy it now, but it won't be dispatched until the 15th or so of November. And there's a star-shaped symbol in the catalogue, which will tell you all about that.
Absolutely. And well, what it means is it's a seasonal product.
Thank you.
So you will have your lovely hedge delivered between about November, end of April time, when the sap is low in the plant. But, of course, you can order all year round.
No problem. And the thing is, what I like about it is that the plants in it are blackthorn, crabapple for jelly, wild plums for jam. And you can make homemade ribena with it.
Can you?
I don't know how, because ribena is blackcurrants, but it must be similar.
Okay.
Dog rose for rosehip syrup. Anyone wants to know about rosehip syrup, just email me. I've got loads of photos. I've got loads of how to do it, because Mark Eccleston made it. Elderberry for cordial in spring. Hazel for cob nuts. I've got hazel in mine.
You can also have elderberry later on when it turns into a berry.
Ah.
You have the elderflower.
Yes.
And then you have the elderberry.
So elderflower cordial and elderberry wine?
Yes.
Hazel, I've got hazel in my hedge. Wild pear for jams, liqueurs and syrups. And you plant it up and it's easy to plant. I didn't get rid of the weeds, but it says get rid of the weeds before you ram your spade in, wiggle it backwards and forwards, stick the plant in and then firm it. If you don't firm it, all sorts of things happen.
That's really good. Really good advice. The only thing I would say is, if you want a nice hedge, keep them nice and compact. You need 5 plants per metre.
Hey! Linear metre?
Yes, indeed.
The thing is, you stagger them, don't you? Yeah. So you put them about a foot apart and you put them sort of...
Zigzag.
Zigzag. Yeah, zigzag, that's it. Yeah. Here we go. Let's go to Rach, who is now off to the beekeepers. What was this about, Rach?
Oh, this is all about the Beekeeping Association out there and them training people to be able to keep the bees and then produce honey for sale.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we've travelled now down to the National Beekeepers Association of the Gambia. Right. And I'm joined by Henry. What's your role here, Henry?
I'm the general manager.
General manager?
Yes, of National Beekeepers Association.
Brilliant. Okay, can you tell me a little bit about what happens here?
At NBAG, as I said, it's a membership association. And as such, we have members all over the country, the whole of the Gambia. Now, some members come here to learn from us. Like, on that, they come in for training. Or sometimes, if some philanthropists want to support a village, they invite us to go to the village and train the people of that community. Mm-hmm. And then after training them, well, it's up to the philanthropists to provide them with materials like hives and tools that they need for beekeeping.
Okay.
And then when the honey is harvested, they bring it and sell it to us. And we market it to the hotels and other places in the urban areas.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you have you're able to completely set them up.
That's right.
And take the produce from them when the bees have created the lovely honey.
That's right.
And then sell the product as well. So you're basically supplying an all-round package, if you like.
That's right. Okay. And not only the honey, but we also train them to make use of wax.
Yes.
So they can make candles, they can make so many other different things, even body cream. So all this they can either sell locally or bring it out here. We buy it and sell it again for them.
Yeah. Now, I know that in the UK, it's quite expensive to set up in beekeeping. So how is this project working? Because the name of the project is The Families, isn't it?
Yes.
So how do they get funding to start off their beekeeping?
Okay, for The Families project, what happened was, it's a follow-up from other projects that have been here before. And members of the Beekeepers Association, St. Joseph's, or normally call it the consortium, we meet and write a project proposal and send it to EU for funding.
Yes.
So it's EU that funds the Families project.
Yeah.
The Families itself, the word Families is just an acronym, fostering agro-industry and so forth. So it makes it so long, so just call it 5 minutes for convenience.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Okay. We had a little chat earlier on, all together as a group, and you said to us that it was more profitable than keeping a cow. So what is the figures involved? You know, how is it more profitable for them than keeping a cow?
All right. If you look at a hive, it costs $650. All right?
Yeah.
Now, if you sell your cow, at the moment, they are selling cows for 7,000, 8,000, and so forth. So if you sell one cow, you can buy 10 hives of $6,500 each.
Okay.
And those 10 hives, if each of them is going to give you $1,500 a year, so 10 hives will give you something like $15,000 a year, mm-hmm. which a cow cannot give you. And that is guaranteed, because once the bees are there, you have no other problem to worry about. Just harvest your honey, you sell. And in the following year, the number of bees, worker bees, will be increased. So the colony becomes stronger and they produce more honey, and you are expected to harvest or to get an income of $21,000 from that year onwards,
yeah.
for the next 10, 30, yeah. 20 to 30 years and
yeah.
so forth.
And also, they haven't got the work that they've got with a cow. Bees are a lot
true.
Less work, aren't they?
The bees are the most easiest thing to deal with. Just give them a house. And they give you rent, correctly.
That's yes. really, really good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not only that, at least they will pollinate all your crops. They pollinate
yeah.
the trees around. So they do a lot of work that they are
yeah.
not being paid for.
Yeah. We did touch on pollination a little bit earlier on in our conversation.
Yes.
You were saying that pollination is not their aim. They don't quite understand pollination. It's really for the honey and the wax.
That's right.
Yes.
Because pollination is something very technical.
Yes.
The average illiterate person doesn't even notice that pollination is going on. Yeah. All they see is that the plants flower and they see a fruit there. But what goes on in between, they don't know.
Okay.
But now with our training, we explain to them how pollination takes place, and now they are making use of it.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for that, Henry.
Most
I think
welcome.
That's a good rounded story of what is happening here.
Thank you
and
very
so
much.
I think we're going to be moving on now to an area that's actually selling wax in markets. Thank you very much.
You are most welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, Rach. I'm off to tell Farmer Phil about this. So the thing is, if he gets bees instead of cows, he'll be raving rich.
Yeah, but he'll probably tell all his mates, they'll all get bees as well.
Yes.
And then he won't be raving rich
no.
because everybody will produce honey.
Yeah. And for those of you that are wondering where Farmer Phil is, oh, he has been ploughing now for days, weeks, months. He comes in about 10:30 at night and he goes to bed and then he gets up and then he gets on the plough and he goes ploughing every single day.
He seems to enjoy it. I saw him going out the yard yesterday, big smile on his face.
Oh, he loves his equipment.
That's a good job.
He's thinking of upgrading the plough because the parts are a bit worn, but currently he's got his plough out there ploughing. That's what he's doing
yeah.
now.
Well, if you watch his Country File and Adam, you just go and buy one.
And for those of you who wonder, yes, I know, gosh, oh yes, here's one I bought earlier, it's £100,000. I just found it on the road and bought it. But why does he buy those blue tractors, Adam?
I don't know. I
now,
don't know.
I must tell you about Adam. Last week, we went to the Farmers Weekly Awards dinner. There was a message from Prince Charles all about sustainable farming, family farms and whatnot. And we had Lisa Tarbuck giving away the prizes.
Was she?
And Rach, you should have seen...
I love her.
...her shoes.
I
they
love her.
They were fantastic. They were Union Jacks.
Really?
High-heeled Union Jacks. They were so cool. And she was wonderful. She was the most lovely person. There was a comedian, I can't remember who he was, but he was very posh. Anyway, the person that won British Farming Champion was...
Adam!
Oh, it was fantastic. He had a tear in his eye.
Yeah.
The audience had a tear in their eye. And everyone stood up and they said how brave he had been to highlight the issues of TB... on his farm and tell it exactly how it was.
He is great. He's absolutely great. Every Sunday evening, we get there to watch Country File.
Yeah.
It's a must.
And it used to be that many farmers poo-pooed Country File. Mm. And now most farmers that I know love it as much as anyone else does.
Yeah.
Because it's... Oh, I just think it's fantastic.
It's so informative. It tells you the stuff as it is.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
What was I going to say? Ah, and on the note of TB, my gosh... has there been a Twitter rumpus about TB since our last show? And our last show, 235, has been reviewed in all sorts of high places, low places, all sorts of places. And the general consensus of opinion is, even if you are an animal rights activist who is desperately against any badger cull, whether it's localised or nationalised, the feedback that we've had from those people have been, although we don't agree with you, we totally respect your podcast. And I think that is something to be said for Farmer Phil and his TB podcast.
Brilliant. Great news.
I tell you what, it was amazing because we had these animal rights people on Twitter. There was one called Bo Billy, and anti-hunt, anti-everything, really? You know. And he called Garby a murdering something. And Garby pointed out to him that he had never killed a badger in his life, which he hadn't. Mm. Anyway, after a couple of days of this, with people watching it, blah, blah, Garby pointed him at the podcast, this bloke. Yes. And he went to the podcast and said, although he didn't agree with it, he completely respected our views and that he was now on the wildflower page and thought that it was such a shame that we'd lost so many wildflowers in Britain, he was going to buy some.
I was like, well,
that is
conversion.
The power of podcasting. Yeah, yeah. And my favourite retail guru, Mary Portas, today has come out and said this, Rach.
We love Mary.
She says, I've never been to a garden centre where anyone really educated me on what to do with my garden. She said the internet often does a better job than shop assistants in teaching her what to do with her garden. And she says that she thought that they had bad merchandising standards, such as pots that fall over, messy pond liner displays, lack of guidance on piles of compost bags, and they don't give a monkey, and they have a lack of inspiration. And she singled out one garden centre that sold sweets. She showed a picture of a large stand of Haribo jelly sweets and said, why put it in a natural environment like a garden centre, even if it brings you in an extra £500 a square foot? And do you know what happened to me? I went to Tesco's, a.k.a. Dobie's, the other day, because Dobie's is owned by Tesco's. I thought, I'll go in there and I will just check out a bit of garden centre competition. And I've taken a photo, which I shall tweet, because as I went in, do you know what the first thing on display they were selling as you went through the door?
What was it, Hev?
You're not going to believe it. Painted heathers.
No!
So I thought, how have they painted the heathers? And it wasn't that. It was plastic. Painted heathers in pots. Desperate! If you need natural gardening products, you know where to go to, dear listener. You know to go to www.wigglers.co.uk. Anyway, Monty and I will be making lots of cakes in the next 2 weeks. Good old boy. Well done with your grades. Obviously takes after his mother.
Are you sure? It's not Farmer Phil out there on his plough.
And the best thing of all is that Dan, Tanya's husband, is sending in lemon drizzle cake on Monday for all at Wiggly Wigglers. Dear listener, if you feel the need to say thanks for the podcast and want to send us a cake, you'll be more than welcome. Otherwise, just go to iTunes, give us a review.
We must just mention Nicole. She's brought in some beautiful brownie cakes over the last 2 days that have been made with Karen's free-range chicken eggs. Beautiful.
Is this a cake competition?
I think it could be, and you've missed out.
Oh, I could rustle up a Victoria sponge again.
Well,
one
the
of
competition,
those flat ones.
The competition is high. The brownie cake was stunning.
And I, you know what? The best thing that we haven't mentioned in the catalogue. When I was a young girl, my mum used to let me cook with her and granny.
Really?
Yes, and we had one of the first formica covered wooden kitchen tables.
Excellent.
In the country, I believe. And she was very good at making bread, but what she had in her cupboard was equipment. And I particularly remember the icing bag set, Tala, which you were only allowed out to ice the Christmas cake. I remember the cutter set, and that's how you made the mince pies, etc. But my favourite of all the things I now have in my own kitchen, and it is, dear listener, a Tala cook's measure.
Wow.
Oh, Rach, there it is.
Goodness me. Wow, wonderful measure.
So you don't have to weigh stuff all the time, because the thing is, you know when you want to weigh a little bit of something and your scales is all wobbly, or worse, if you've invested in digital, the battery runs out.
Oh.
This thing does it all. And you can put milk in there. You can put liquids. And you can cook in a jiffy.
Must get one. I'll buy one.
And there's one with a Union Jack. Anyway, yes. That's enough advertising for this week. Hope you've enjoyed the show. If you've got a chance to email us, you can do Heather at Wiggly Wigglers.
Rach at wigglywigglers.co.uk.
If you want Farmer Phil, you can get him at pwg@lowerblakemere.co.uk. And on Twitter, he's Farmer Phil without an E. And I'm Wiggled. Bye.
Goodbye.
But it won't be dispatched until the 15th
yeah.
or so of November.
There's an asterisk in the
catalogue
to say that.
And there's an asterisk. An asterisk.
A star-shaped symbol.
Oh, dear.
And well, what it means is it's a seasonal product. That's really good. Really good advice. The only thing I would say is if you want a nice edge, keep them nice and compact. I think it's something like 3 to 4 per square metre.
Say again, 3 to 4 per metre.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, linear metre. Yeah.
You do.
Yeah, it's 3 to 5, isn't it? Well, yeah. It's about 5 or so per linear metre.
Okay. Okay, so that's really good advice. Don't forget that you need about 5 per square metre.
Linear.
Oh.
And stop fiddling with your watch, okay. You stupid cow.
Cut that, Michael. Right. Yep, that's really good advice. Yes, that's really good advice. And don't forget, you need 5 plants per square.
No!
Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, stop.
Per linear meter.
Yep, that's really good advice. And don't forget, you need 5 plants per meter linear.
Hey! Linear meter?
Yes, indeed.
The thing is, yeah. You stagger them.